for shaitan, or it is for shaitan. But unfortunately, when it comes to our own children and ourselves in our social media, we are giving invitation
to the
Satan that please
really
come
sad.
And do whatever you want to do with our children. This is number one. So we have to educate our youngsters and our children about the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we have to instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all. Then they can understand. And again, we have to educate and tell them that what is the goal of our life in this earth, on this planet, you know?
Yeah.
As you said, we
but
have only one book
and
one life. And so many tasks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, let's have a short break and we will come back very soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to our show of Muslim Lady, and we are talking about doable tips to protect ourselves from social media. So one more thing I want to add is we can just put a sticker, for example, a reminder on our screen. For example, it's written, Ya Allah, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, or my, present imam.
Wherever you work, wherever you usually sit on wall, on tables,
I was watching a documentary about Ayatollah Sayyid Hadi Milani, and they were showing in that documentary that Ayatollah has written a big poster that Ya Sahib al-Zaman, and then he has written a beautiful poetry that, oh my imam, my whole life is for you. And I remember Murtaza Askari, Ayatollah Murtaza Askari, he says, I have done this dealing that, Ya Allah, I'm just devoting my life for you. I don't want to waste a single minute. And then end of his life, he said, the first day when I said, I'm totally in service of you, Alhamdulillah, I was fulfill my promise, and I never ever even spend a single second or minute for none of,
Than Allah.
Other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Wow, that is, awesome, which is, very, very hard. And
If you write something and we should pay attention that, this is my goal. And I love the way you said, we don't have goal. Our perspective is not clear. We don't know for what we are, especially as a female. Because, I think we as a Muslim lady, we have so many tasks and goal in our life. Like we are at home, and especially after marriage, if we are a mother. So now, even nowadays, social media is just stealing the motherhood from the mothers. It's just taking my responsibility, my seat of motherhood from me, because I just want to, for example, maybe for beautifying myself, I'm just looking to some makeup pages, following some makeup or something about the kitchen, I don't know, and I'm just busy here, there, some things are not halal, wasting time, because sometimes the children, they say, Mom, you're watching so many cooking shows on social media, but you're not making any of them.
Definitely.
Why you are just watching them, just wasting the time? so that would be so necessary.
That is another issue, That's why Islam says that whenever you cook, you have to pay attention to that while cooking,
Really?
Because it has so much impact on that food, in so many ahadiths, that it is very emphasized that whenever you cook, whenever whatever work you are doing, if you pay attention and you recite some of surahs or ayat or bismillah or durood, something, it has a very, very big impact on the that food also. So, you know, that food, when your children will eat, definitely they will have different, you know,
yeah,
different taste and different impact that food will have on them.
Inshallah.
You know, rather than, you know, hiring a maid or, you know, nowadays the robots can come in future and they can cook, you know.
So let's move towards the second tip. Number one is presence of Allah.
The second, you said we have to remind ourselves or write somewhere, you know, that Allah or, you know, whatever Imam's
that
name.
Is the first one, yeah, one, presence, of Allah,
yeah, presence of Allah.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Okay, let's move towards the second tip. Yeah, the second tip, I think that would be just we as a Muslim lady, we know ourselves better than other. Yeah, I know when I'm wasting more of my, you know, most of my time, when I'm more in mood of committing sins, for example, and, you know, watching something which is not recommended in Islam. So counting my deeds, I know, you know, we are just kidding ourselves. That is so much dangerous. So I know myself that this is not halal, this is haram. Yeah. I know myself here, I'm not paying attention to my family and my children. And, you know, I'm just sitting and watching and watching and watching. That is nafs. That is my desires. So if I know that this time, mostly I get victim of shayateen, for example, so many people, they after 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. when kids are going to sleep, so then they waste their time, you know, they're just they're watching movies or I don't know, watching this and that, you know, so many rubbish stuff. What do you think about it?
Yeah, definitely you have to set a reminder for yourselves, you know, in this time I'm allowed to use social media. And before you use social media, you have to prioritize your schedule, you know.
Beautiful.
These things are very important for me. This is number two, this is number three. And social media should come in, you know, fourth and fifth number.
Yeah.
So if you remind yourself.
Or even nowadays, our phones, they have.
Yeah.
You can check how much.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Every phone. Yeah, smartphone has this application, health, you know. Like
what they say?
Health applications or within built-in applications also, they count how much hours you spent, you know. Screen time,
exactly.
They tell you.
That would be amazing.
Time.
Yeah, screen time.
It shows
time.
You how many hours did you spend on, you know,
and, you know,
Instagram.
Screen time is free over here, like when whatever you want to use it. But it would be very, very expensive for hereafter, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to ask for each second, for each
وَمَنْ
click.
يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whatever good deed you do, even a single
click or
finger,
like, yeah,
Allah will count
it.
And if you do bad things, then that is also counted and written. And we cannot say in the day of judgment that we didn't know, we were unaware. There is
all
not
the excuses,
any excuse, because our actions will speak there.
And the third tip, which I would like to give to a Muslim lady, is if I'm just crossing the limits, for example, I set the priorities, I said I shouldn't use more than 1 hour, for example. I shouldn't watch this kind of movies.
One hour is very less.
Yeah,
let's say
2 hours. Yeah.
4 hours.
So then I have to give some kind of punishment to myself.
Yeah.
And about punishment, we are going to, inshallah, speak in our next episode. That would be so interesting. I know it's a bit scary, but that would be very healthy for our healthy life.
Nobody likes to punish himself.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, and I'm 100% sure we all benefiting from these amazing, doable, easy and practical tips which can change our life, especially the social life. Inshallah, in next episode we will come with so many more very useful tips. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you. Jazakum Allah khair. Inshallah, we are going to meet very soon. Until that time, fi amanillah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate on a gem of an advice from the Holy Prophet's first infallible heir, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He who adopts greed as a habit devalues himself. He who discloses his hardship agrees to humiliation. And he who allows his tongue to overpower his soul debases the soul.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Enjoy nighttime adventures, then this park in Paris is just for you. Decorated with colorful lighting, the venue gives you a real feeling of life-size sculptures depicting dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals. In this exhibition dubbed Evolution on the Path of Lights, visitors can walk through tunnels formed by some of the sculptors. They are made of paper, steel, and lights. More than 100 sculptors light up like lanterns across the park. These include well-known favorites of kids such as Triceratops and T-Rex. Some huge lanterns also represent insects and vertebrates that walked on the planet millions of years ago. The exhibition's director says the goal is to raise awareness and educate the public about biodiversity in the past and present.
In Thailand, monkeys climbing on the piles of fruits and vegetables in central Thailand. It is not due to a mess, though. It is actually an annual event called the Monkey Festival in Lopburi Province. The long-tailed monkeys, known as macaques, feast on 2 tons of fruits and vegetables in Lopburi. That is the capital city of the province with the same name. Locals say the event is a symbolic way to thank the cute animals for doing their part in drawing tourists to their town. This year's festival took place after a 2-year halt due to the pandemic.
Today is the 33rd time that we held this event. This year under the theme of Wheelchair Monkey Party, where we organizers will donate 100 wheelchairs to people in need. I would say the event is very successful. Many Thais and tourists are visiting.
Lopburi has been holding the annual festival for its monkey population for decades now. COVID restrictions meant last year's party was missing its usual crowd of spectators. However, this year the humans were back in force with more than 100 turning out to see the monkeys. Historical monuments have many duplicates made by enthusiasts around the world. India's Taj Mahal is not an exception. But the one you're about to see right now is not just a physical copy. It shares the spirit of Taj Mahal as well. This mini replica is located in the city of Burhanpur, some 800 kilometers away from the magnificent Taj Mahal itself. It has a love story behind it too, just as Taj Mahal does. Anand Parthesh Choksi, a teacher, has built this replica as a gift to his spouse. It took Choksi 3 years to build the 4-bedroom house that is decorated by artisans from Agra, where Taj Mahal is located. He says that he has made the replica to show his love and spread the message of peace. Taj Mahal was built by a Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan in memory of his wife Mumtaz Mahal back in the 17th century. Now, for those interested in ancient history, Egypt has unveiled a renovated ancient road dating back some 3,400 years in a spectacular nighttime ceremony. This historical corridor is nearly 3 kilometers long and connects the temples of Karnak and Luxor in the center of the southern city of Nile. The stone road, also known as the Avenue of Sphinxes or the Ramza Road, features over 1,000 traditional sphinxes and ram-headed statues on its sides. The site was buried under layers of sand until it was discovered back in the late 1940s. Since then, the path has undergone decades of excavation efforts, but experts say that many statues have been completely damaged.
Sphinx statues were completely damaged and in very bad condition because wrong restoration works were conducted in the 1960s and 1970s. In the previous century, they used wrong materials for the restorations. Now we're using internationally recognized materials for the restoration works.
Egypt has described the site as the largest open museum in the world. The new attraction aims to help revive the country's tourism industry. The sector has been hit hard due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Robots now helping as teaching aids in some Korean kindergartens. The pint-sized machines do everything they can, from singing to reciting stories. The robots, being as tall as nearly 25 centimeters, can also dance, have sing songs, and even teach kung fu moves. That gives children fun as they mimic the robot's push-ups and one-legged balances. It's also good for the kids' creativity. In fact, that's the purpose of sending the robots to hundreds of kindergartens in Seoul, beginning from August. Each robot has a camera and its helmet, making it possible to take photos and send them to a tablet for viewing. Teachers say they love their new aids.
The robots are helpful when at times it's hard for me to read everyone's stories. The robots can read out stories in a very entertaining way by switching voices accordingly.
For now, the robots are being used as part of a pilot program, but Korean education officials hope to use them more widely, although they say the machines would not replace teachers. The officials believe having this experience in nursery schools will have a lasting effect throughout the kids' youth and as adults.
Spacecraft are used for a range of purposes, from observation to exploration and navigation. But this specific spacecraft was designed for a totally different purpose, to smash into an asteroid. In a first-of-its-kind mission, NASA launched the vehicle, Dot Dot, from a Space Force base in California. The mission will take 10 months to travel to a pair of asteroids. It will eventually crash into one of two rocks and see if it can change its course. Just before impact, DART will deploy a small satellite to take photos of the crash. Space organizations around the world are eager to find ways of countering objects that might head towards the Earth. The good news, though, is that for now, none of those objects are a threat.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
And old manuscripts are precious and can sometimes fetch attractive sums of money, but this one has gone far beyond, as it's a really rare handwriting belonging to a world-famous scientist. This manuscript was sold for a whopping $13 million at an auction at Christie's in Paris, but would you still be surprised if we told you that it belongs to no one but the great physicist of our time, Albert Einstein? Einstein did not have a habit of keeping drafts. And this is one of only two manuscripts that have survived. Einstein wrote the 54-page document in the early 1900s in Zurich, Switzerland, and his colleague Michel Besseau has preserved it since then. The document contains Einstein's preparatory work for his signature achievement, the theory of general relativity. Einstein's letters have set records twice before, but for much lower prices. November is the best time of the year to see polar bears moving around Canadian shores. During this month, the carnivores gather in large numbers and wait for the waters to freeze before they begin their seal hunt. These bears are playing and wrestling in the Canadian city of Churchill, dubbed the polar bear capital of the world. The area is located within a natural habitat of a large population of polar bears. Sometimes the city's residents even share the streets with these animals. Currently, there are nearly 25,000 polar bears in the wild, and Canada is home to more than 17,000 of them. However, wildlife organizations say these animals are facing the threat of extinction by the end of the century due to global warming. Robots in a war-ravaged city. Androids serve clients in a restaurant in Mosul, an Iraqi city that still bears the scars of the years-long presence of terrorist groups. This fully digital eatery offers a futuristic experience to its customers. From interactive tables to glowing constellations, everything seems like a journey to the future. But the robot waiters are the stars of the show, and the major reason the restaurant attracts a large number of visitors every night.
The idea started during the COVID lockdown.
As you know, people spent most of their time on social media during that period, since commuting was not allowed. So we tried to look at different ideas from around the world, and thank God we were able to execute this idea and complete this project.
The owner of the eatery says he has imported the robots, but other technologies used there are the work of a group of young engineers from the University of Mosul. The venue has already become very popular, and many visitors call it their favorite place in the city. Qatar displays a dazzling drone show as it unveils the countdown clock for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Doha. The clock, in the shape of an hourglass, is located at Doha's iconic Cornish fishing spot. The distinctive design enables the structure to be seen from any angle and stand out from the spectacular city skyline behind it. The event reveals to fans worldwide that just 1 year to go to the big kickoff, famous athletes including David Beckham and Samuel Eto'o were in attendance at the ceremony. They may not realize it, but they are extremely lucky. Two pandas have been adopted by superstars. Chinese Olympic champion Zhang Jiechi and Paris Saint-Germain footballer Kylian Mbappe have become godparents to a pair of panda cubs. The athletes have both expressed satisfaction with their new role, with Mbappe calling his godparenthood a big moment. The cute cubs are only 3 months old and can barely stand on their own feet. They are called Yuan Dudu and Huan Lili. Space lovers have been treated to an epic lunar eclipse that dazzled the night skies of the Northern Hemisphere. The event is also known as the Blood Moon because of the red haze seen around the moon during the eclipse. The 3.5-hour phenomenon gave stargazers the chance to witness the longest partial eclipse in 580 years. Although NASA calls this celestial event a partial eclipse, around 97% of the moon was cast into a red hue by the Earth's shadow. A total eclipse could also be seen in Russia's far eastern regions. The next longest partial eclipse will take place in around 648 years.
An 11-month-old baby has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out underneath all the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby on the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji was not scared at all and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports.
Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the crabs so that they can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Thank you.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about the concept of freedom in Islam. I invite you to be with us. Today, Wednesday, is the 25th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter and Sun, verses 1 to 4.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا.
Has there not come upon man a period of time when he was not a thing even mentioned?
إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا.
Indeed, we created man from a sperm drop mixture that we may try him, and we made him hearing and seeing.
إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا.
Indeed, we guided him to the way, be he grateful or be he ungrateful.
إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا.
Indeed, we have prepared for the disbelievers chains and shackles and a blaze.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Since Allah has created man with a special goal in mind, examination and development, He has prepared the necessary faculties for these fulfillments in his being. This can be considered divine guidance. Therefore, he, Allah, has made man naturally eager to follow the way, and with the help of his natural inclinations, has shown him its direction. This can be considered natural guidance. On the whole, this verse indicates three points which are important for the destiny in life of man: duty, guidance, and free will, of all which are both interdependent and complementary to each other.
Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom, freedom.
IRIB English Radio, and this program today's special looks at the concept of freedom in Islam. Political freedom in Islam is a means of leading mankind to justice, goodness, and peace. It guarantees and protects the political rights of all. Man should therefore practice his personal freedom without encroaching on the rights of others and deviating from a correct moral conduct. In an atmosphere which respects the rights and freedoms of others, mankind can grow and prosper. Life is filled with knowledge and good deeds. Freed from lusts and the control of tyrants, man can find his way to true happiness. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, the topic is Aspects of Freedom in the Islamic System According to Imam Khomeini. It's indicated in the Al-Mizan exegesis of the Holy Quran that some people may imagine that it has been the Western tradition that has made people familiarized with the notion of freedom. They are absolutely wrong. It has been the Islamic religion that has indicated the notion of freedom and the notion and practices and aspects and various levels of freedom in over 1400 years ago. It's indicated also in the framework of Imam Khomeini. It's indicated that the Islamic religion has set all people, has set mankind free from those restrictions. And at the same time, the Islamic religion has been a pioneer of giving freedom, granting freedom to everybody, to all people. Please note carefully that even in the early Islamic period, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that many often colored slaves who were in Arabia, mainly in Mecca, they joined the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they accepted the Islamic religion because of this sense of freedom available in the Islamic instructions. And this made the pagans of Mecca very much angry.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance. In every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Let's look at social freedom. Another type of freedom is referred to as social freedom. This implies that we as individuals have the choice of types of rule, government, and policies we are governed by. Advising his son Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him, Imam Ali states, "Safeguard yourself from everything that is mean, because you do not gain any replacement for what you lose from yourself when you perform something mean. And do not be a slave of anyone, because Allah has created you free. When Allah has created us free, why should one human being serve another? Is it because the person being served is the head of a tribe, a head of a state, a highly influential individual, or that he is supported by the affluent people, such that this in turn causes one to sacrifice one's freedom? The right of obedience belongs to solely to Allah and those whom have been granted rights from Allah, such as the prophets, parents, and the like. Even if someone is more pious, he does not have the right to claim our obedience for his own sake."
Somebody just tell me, where is my freedom?
We are talking about the concept of freedom in Nahjul Balagha. Determining one's destiny is an act of man's free will. different from physical compulsion. Divine commands are rationally designed and have a purpose. The universe itself has a design and a purpose. In this scheme of creation, man is free to act or not to act in accordance with the divine purpose. If you compare Imam Ali's approach to the problems of freedom, morality, and the existence of Allah, we may come to a more convincing philosophy. Imam Ali does not require any proof for the existence of Allah, but believes in him on the ground of revelation and his own inner experience. Recent theology in the West accept the inner yearning of men to have faith in a supreme being as the only criterion of belief in Allah. Starting from the same position, Imam Ali alayhi salam proves the purposiveness of creation, arguing that it is created by an intelligent, knowing, and just Allah with a design and a purpose, and all his commands are just and reasonable, for he, Allah, does not command men to do something that is beyond his capacity.
Indeed, when we examine the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we examine the universe with its various dimensions, we come to the realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed honored the human being. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. It is from this honor and dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us freedom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the human being with freedom. There are many dimensions in our lives in which we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the religion of Islam, has guaranteed our freedom. In the religion of Islam, the general rule is that the human being is free, except in certain circumstances. In those circumstances where we don't have freedom, that's the exception, it's not the rule. The general ruling is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us freedom. We can see the freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the religion of Islam in a number of ways. For example, when you examine your own body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you full control over your body. You possess your body. You are free to do whatever you want with your body. However, there are exceptions. You do have the freedom to do what you want with your body, but you may not harm yourself. You may not amputate one of your limbs, for example. You cannot cause yourself to become blind, to become deaf, to pose a great danger or risk to your own health. When you're harming yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you that freedom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a soul. You cannot take it willfully. You cannot commit suicide. This is not an area where you have freedom. Another example is the hijab. Yes, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you control over your body and the freedom to do what you want with your body, there is an exception. That's called the hijab. Because if you don't observe the hijab, you could be harming yourself and harming others in society.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much. We were speaking about freedom in Islam. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies, My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
The unholy alliance between the Israeli regime and the two Arab powers, namely the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, has provided a breeding ground for crime, especially in cyberspace. It hasn't been a long time since the world was rocked by a wide range of cyber attacks these countries carried out, thanks to Pegasus, the signature spyware produced by the Israeli company NSO Group. Now it's become clear that both Abu Dhabi and Riyadh have been using yet another spyware, developed by yet another Israeli firm, Candiru, undermining privacy and threatening freedom of expression. Recently, ASSET, a Slovak internet security firm, revealed that a computer hacking tool made by Tel Aviv-based Candiru has been used to attack websites in some parts of the world, in particular the Middle East. In its detailed analysis, ASSET wrote, "The victimized websites belong to media outlets in the UK, Yemen, and Saudi Arabia, as well as Hezbollah, to government institutions in Iran, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Syria, including the Ministry of Electricity, and Yemen, including the Ministries of Interior and Finance, to internet service providers in Yemen and Syria."
The links between Israel and the UAE regarding this technology are the same links that there are between Israel and the UAE politically. The UAE has recognized and normalized relations with Israel, and the Saudi government too, even though it hasn't fully recognized and formalized relations with Israel, it's been working closely with Israel for a long time, and they have the same interests in the region. Israel wants to protect the monarchies from and any kind of democratic revolution there, and the Gulf monarchies are siding with Israel in protecting the regime from any kind of uprising, of popular uprising, or Palestinian uprising in the countries of the region.
ASSET found a series of watering holes attacks between July 2020 and July 2021, in which attacks added malicious code to websites' JavaScript code to infect devices of targets of interest who were likely to visit those websites. The sites themselves, according to the cybersecurity company, are just a jumping-off point to reach the final targets. The primary goal of the attackers using the spyware is supposed to be collecting IP geo-collection data and the targeted computer system information, and enabling them to hijack the infected devices. The targeted websites include, but not limited to, Middle East Eye, a UK-based news site that has a critical coverage of the Middle Eastern regimes, the site of the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah's Al-Manar TV channel, and Yemen's Al-Masira, a media outlet affiliated with the Ansarullah movement, and the SaudiReality.com, a Saudi website critical of the Saudi monarchy.
The Yemen situation, of course, is critical now for Saudi Arabia and the UAE. So, you know, they're going to use this software and these capabilities to bolster their position, to strengthen their position in the Yemenis' war. So, of course, anything having to do, and Yemenis, this war against the Houthis and with the Houthis in Yemen is a very dangerous war for Saudi Arabia, you know, and the Saudi regime might really be threatened if they lose this war in a nasty way. So they're going to make sure that they will use every tool that they have to spy on and as intelligence, to gather intelligence from what is their enemy in a war now, the Yemenis and the Houthis.
The hacking spree undermines the privacy of the users and can dissuade them from visiting the alternative media. It can also pose problems for independent journalists, putting their lives in danger. In the words of the Director-in-Chief of Middle East Eye, David Hurst, this only further demonstrates the challenges of reporting independently and has serious consequences for the future of press freedom.
When this came out initially in April, there was some indication that, you know, wealthy private people in the UAE or Saudi Arabia can get their hands on this technology and use it against people all around the world. So what's happening is the technology itself is very powerful and very dangerous. And the cat's out of the bag in some sense. Once, you know, these governments think they can control it, but once it gets out in the wild, it starts, you know, itself can be stolen and hacked and used by other players. So it's a very dangerous thing from the point of view of dissidents and journalists in the hands of governments that are authoritarian or repressive. And every government in some way will be for its own interests. But it's also very dangerous in the sense that this is now getting out of control, even of central government.
Back in July, Citizen Lab, an interdisciplinary laboratory at the University of Toronto, Canada, reported that Candiru's clients include the governments of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, as well as Qatar, Singapore, and Uzbekistan. The lab researchers believe that the attacks on journalists and activists were carried out from Hungary, Indonesia, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. The fact is, the Israeli regime had been providing the Persian Gulf autocrats with its cybersecurity tools long before the Abraham Accords. For example, back in 2007, the Emiratis recruited the Israeli-owned firm 4D Security Solutions to bolster the security of their energy facilities and to install a smart surveillance system in their capital city. Likewise, according to former Israeli Knesset member Errol Margalit, in 2012, Saudi Arabia received assistance from Israeli cybersecurity firms for its oil and natural gas company, Aramco. However, this cooperation has been taking an increasingly aggressive course in recent months, if not years. Israeli companies say their products are meant to help governments fight terrorism, but the reality is fundamentally different on the ground. They have been used mostly to spy on computers, mobile phones, and cloud accounts of journalists, activists, and political dissidents in the clients' countries.
Of course, this is the line of the Israeli agent company, NSO, and the line of the Israeli government. We only sell our product to law enforcement and to governments that we know, really it's that we know are on our side, because nobody can claim that the Saudi government or the UAE government is a democratic government. But really, their claim is they're selling it to legitimate governments, quote unquote, for the purposes of, finding criminals and terrorists, etc. That's always what they're going to say. And then when something pops up that it's been used against journalists and dissidents, they're going to say, well, we didn't know anything about that. We can't control and it's the truth. They can't control what these governments do once they give them the software and the technology. And that's the problem here.
giving double-edged software to despotic regimes under the name of fighting terrorism is a dangerous game to play. It is potentially a threat to every internet user, regardless of geography, nationality, or belief. Even the United States, Israel's staunch ally, has blacklisted both Candiru and NSO Group for acting against its national security interests. Inaction on behalf of the international community will certainly cause incalculable damage to freedom of expression.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.